shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth for everything, and all of my worries in vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love, and from all harm safe in His sheltering arms. I'm living by faith, and I feel no though tempests may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life, I'm never alarmed at the overcast sky. The Master looks on at the strife. I'm living by faith in Jesus above. Trusting, confiding in His great love, and from all harm safe in His sheltering arms, I'm living by faith, and I feel no alarm. Why should I then care, though the tempest may blow, if Jesus walks close to my side? I'm living by faith in Jesus above. I'm trusting, confiding in His great love. Our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore.
And you think about
I'm living by faith in Jesus above. I'm trusting, and from all harm safe in His sheltering arms, I'm living by faith,
sing it, church. Hallelujah.
And I feel no alarm. And I'm living by faith in Jesus above. Trusting, confiding in His great love, and from all harm safe in His sheltering arms, I'm living by faith.
Hallelujah.
And I feel no
would you throw your hand up and love on Him for His faithfulness. Lord, we love You for Your faithfulness tonight. Heaven is getting ready for the saints to arrive. We've been talking a long time about the earth getting ready for the Antichrist to appear. But this morning, I want to preach not just about this earth getting ready for the Antichrist, but heaven getting ready for the saints. Did you know that heaven is never late with its preparation? Did you know that at the moment God has ordained that everything will be in perfect order and heaven will become the scene of some of the most magnificent, majestic, breathtaking events that have ever unfolded? It is overwhelming just to talk and think about heaven getting ready for the saints, getting ready for us. The earth's getting ready for the Antichrist, but heaven's getting ready for the saints of God. Are you getting the message? What a joy that day will be. Turn with me in your Bible. Everybody reading, please. The book of Psalms 48, verse 1. Psalms 48, verse 1. I want us to really think about heaven this morning. Very little preaching is done about heaven today. When you're earthly minded, heaven hardly passes your consciousness, hardly touches your thought life. But I want to preach about heaven getting ready for us. Heaven getting ready for the saints. Read together Psalms 48 and verse 1. Notice carefully. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. Did you notice that? In the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. What a place. It's real. It's there. It's the city of our God. It's on the sides of the north, in the heavenly realm. That's where the great light shine from. That's why the whole earth is directed by and from. This earth has to rotate with a perfect alignment with the north. It would go into utter bankruptcy if it did not, because heaven is the center of all of God's activity and God's world. And the city is the city of our God, and it's in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth. Do you know there was a time in church life, in the world of the kingdom of the Lord, in the world of God's people, when heaven was a central theme and heaven was a constant conversation, and people lived with their mind on that great place called heaven? They knew it was real. They knew God was there. They honored Him. And this verse and this passage relates us the way it ought to be and should be. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth. Listen to that. The joy of the whole earth. In is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. God is known in the heavenly realm as a refuge for all of His angels and all of His people and the saints of God on earth. The joy of the whole earth. Heaven is supposed to be a joy of the whole earth. If you can make heaven your joy for a moment, just slip a right hand up and tell God how much you're looking forward to heaven. How much you're looking forward to seeing that realm of the majestic, that realm of the transcendent, that realm far and greatly beyond all comprehension of our human capacities. Oh, what a day. What a day. What a day. So heaven is getting ready for the saints. Father, You got to help me this morning. I so often lately have been preaching over my head, and I'm over my head, Father. But help me that these people will get a fresh feeling about heaven, a fresh grasp of heaven, a fresh happiness about heaven. Let it become the joy of the whole earth again. Long ago it may have been, but today it is not the joy of our earth. But help us who hear this message, make it a joy of our earth and our earthly life. In Jesus' name, I pray, and you may be seated. Now, there is no question. The earth is in preparation for the great Antichrist. Demons are busy. Devils are busy. There's a multitude of people who are godless, who are wicked, who are just as evil as the devil himself. And they're doing everything they can to prepare this world for what they believe is their grand occasion, their grand time. They really think that they are going to take over and rule this world. That they're going to set up their own kingdom. And it's going to be a kingdom free and completely separated from the limitations of Bible Christianity. It's happening all over the world while I'm talking to you. The Catholic Church, the Pentecostals, the different denominations, even within the ranks of holiness churches, there is a descent into new theology called kingdom dominion theology. They're forgetting the hope of a rapture. They don't want to leave here. They want to make this a place where they can rule. It's a new day. And the devil is truly preparing the earth for himself. He's preparing this earth to rule it. He's preparing this earth to be dominant. He's preparing this earth that he might be God. He has striven to be God ever since he rebelled in the heavenly realm. And the Father threw him out. And Jesus said, I saw the devil, Satan, fall as lightning, fall from heaven. Oh yeah, he's been fighting for it ever since. And this is his grand hour. He actually thinks he's going to finally accomplish what he's intended for so long. Now, I want to show you a little bit this morning about the preparation for all that is happening in heaven. But first, you got to get heaven in your mind. You got to understand. You got to understand that heaven is real. Heaven is just as real, just as physical, just as real as this earth. You say, is it physical? Absolutely, it's physical. Absolutely. How do you think Elijah went up in a whirlwind and a great chariot, you know, and went to heaven? And Elisha saw Elijah go, saw him disappear into the heavens. And Elijah had told Elisha that if he would watch and see him, that he would give him a double portion. Remember that story? And then remember Enoch of old. How he disappeared because he got closer to heaven than home. And so God said, just go on home with me. And remember when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration and the disciples saw Moses and Elijah up there on the mountain, long dead, long in heaven, and they saw them and recognized them. Oh, you say, Brother Chambers, you believe heaven is real? I sure do believe heaven is real. I wouldn't want to live if I didn't believe heaven was real. I wouldn't want to go through what I've been through to get there. And I've loved it. I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining an iota. But it's been a struggle. But I want to tell you, I wouldn't go through it to go to a non-existent heaven that wasn't nothing but a dream or some place of imagination. Oh, no, it's real, folks. How many believe heaven is real? Let me see your hand. You're ready. Shake it a little bit. Let heaven know you believe heaven is real. Oh, it is. I promise you that heaven is real. And I love this. I love this text I read to you. Oh, I love it. Great is the Lord. Greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. He used exact words to describe an exact place, beautiful for situation, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. What do you think? All the electricity that flows through this universe and covers the earth like a blanket. How do you think you talk on a cell phone with somebody in Germany or wherever they may be? How do you think you do that? But God's electricity covers this earth like a blanket, and it all descends from the north. Every bit of it is a northern polarity. It's a beautiful thing to study about and learn about. And it's real. I said it's real. Oh, what a beautiful place. Well, to add a little positiveness to what I'm saying, go to the second book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, and verse 2. Listen, I know a man in Christ about 14 years ago. See, he's given it specific time. He's given it a kind of connection that you can't doubt it was real. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body. See, Paul is making it clear that he could go there in the body or he could go there in the spirit. Out of the body. So he says, I don't know whether which it was. I'm not capable of deciding whether it was in the body or out of the body. But such a one, I cannot tell, but such a one caught up. Now listen to this, caught up to the third heaven. Now, if the first heaven is real, and the second heaven, where the devil is the prince of the power of the air and rules in his evil domain, then there's a third heaven, and this man was caught up to that third heaven. Third heaven. And listen, I knew such a man, in the body, out of the body, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard, listen, heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for me to utter. This man was there. This was Paul the Apostle. This was this great man of God, caught up to the third heavens. If there's a first heaven, and you couldn't breathe if there wasn't for the first heaven, the oxygen in the air, all the processes of your world, it's a real world. There's a second heaven where there's a devil. If you don't believe it, read the newspaper every morning and you'll see that second heaven devil, and you'll see him manifesting himself in many ways. Well, Paul said, I was caught up to the third heaven and I heard words. I heard words. It was not lawful for me to utter. And he called it paradise. Ah, listen to me. He's so troubled. Oh, I tell you, I get excited when I begin to think about what's awaiting us. I've been a Christian 65 years. We'll be 66 in the month of March 2018. And I want to tell you something. It's never been less than real. I've never had a time when I didn't know heaven was really up there. Never had a time I didn't know that Christ was my Savior and my Lord. I don't even remember a day from the moment I got saved that I wasn't called to preach. And I never considered nothing but preaching as God's calling upon my heart and life. I didn't have to fight it. I wasn't capable, but I left that in the hands of God, and I was just willing. That's a real heaven. Are you getting the word this morning? I'm trying to make sure you understand there's a real heaven up there. I'm trying to make sure it's a dimension of living that is so wonderful and so supreme. It's a golden place. The city of New Jerusalem is described in detail. The gold and all the precious stones that went into the construction of that city. There's no way to think of that city as anything but real. There's no way to think of all of this as anything but the real reality of what heaven is. I'm going to be there soon. Hallelujah. Don't get my coattail. You can't stop me. I'm going to be out of here. I'm hungering for heaven. I sat in my study yesterday and said, Jesus, would you please come on today? I want to go. Somebody say real loud, I want to go. Do you mean it? Raise a hand if you mean it. Do you really want to go? Are you looking forward to it? How about you, Brother Buck? Hallelujah. You're so close to heaven. You're about halfway here and about halfway there. Is that bad? Not bad, is it? I feel about the same way. About halfway here and halfway there. Oh, but listen to me. Don't want to go till it's his time. I'm not going to try to move out on my own. I tell you that. I can't fly. I never have been good at flapping my hands and getting off the ground. I always fall and bust my nose. But I want to tell you something. The day's coming when he's going to take care of that. Woo! I can hardly be still. Glory! Heaven is a real place. Paul saw it. Paul saw it. Paul heard its words. Well, you can go to the book of Revelation. John saw one vision after the other, and those angels played out the scene in front of him, and they were just as real as his eyeballs was real. There's no way to doubt it. It is beautiful. It is real. It is glorious. Now, I got to tell you, God's been working on some things a long time ago. Ooh, whoa, this is good. God's been working on some things a long time before you thought about it. Did you know that? How many knew that? Listen. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God in a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Listen. God's been working on things for you. God hasn't left you hanging. God hasn't left you without any assurance of what's ahead of you. God's got things all planned for you. God's got things all worked out for you. And here Paul is talking. See, he's been there. He's not talking about something that he thought was real. He was talking about something he knew was real. He talked about something he'd felt in his own hands. He'd talking about something he'd heard with his own ears. And now he says, this earthly house of this tabernacle, if it were dissolved. And it will be. He knew that. If it were dissolved, we have a building, a house not made with hands, reserved in the heavens. You've already got a house up there waiting on you. We live in a haughty generation. People are so haughty. Are you aware of that? People are so haughty. What you've got down here ain't nothing compared to what you got over there. And you need to get that in your head. That you're just living on borrowed time in a temporary tabernacle that's subject to all kinds of pains and all kinds of difficulties. Have you ever realized that I know you have, but have you realized lately how the spirit everywhere is negative? The spirit everywhere is fault finding. I mean, you live right, and I guarantee you folks gonna find fault with you. You go to your home and you act like you are saying to God, which you better be acting like you are. And they say, what do you think you are? You think you're some big shot? You're so self-righteous. You hear all these. We live in the day when offense is everywhere. You can do the nicest things for people and they will be offended at something about what you did for them. I know. I face it all the time. I stood up here this morning talking things, and I felt like I was offending somebody. Because people are so easily offended. If a preacher says anything they don't agree with, they're bugged at him. They're bothered with him. They'll take off and start running for somewhere else to find something that they can like everything. Now listen to me. Will you hear me? Anybody hearing me preach this morning? I want to tell you something. We got a body over there prepared in the heavens, and it has no disease. It has no germs in it. It has no Adamic nature in it. It has no false nothing in it. It's pure. It's sanctified. It's holy. It's Holy Ghost saturated. That's why I can say everybody in heaven will be Holy Ghost filled. Because he's made for you a new body. Hallelujah. I love that text. That's beautiful. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Listen to it. Very powerful. If this house were dissolved, we have a building, a house not made with hands, reserved in the heavens for us. See, that's why when Jesus comes to get the rapture, he brings the dead with him. and then they will be resurrected and come out of their graves. Oh, those saints of God, you remember your dear mother, Brother Marlon, what a saint of God. She got saved late in her life, but she shined with the beauty of her love for Christ and her love for the kingdom. I remember your mother, your grandmother and your great-grandmother, Yvette. Your great-grandmother, oh, what a sweetheart she was. Her great-grandmother, when I came to Charlotte, she was already very old and was bedridden. I'd go over to see her, and she'd say, Brother Chambers, I love you. And she'd always add, but I want you to understand, I love you in a Christian love. Don't think anything of me telling you I love you, because I just mean I love you in the Lord. And she'd do that every time. I'll never forget her. What a saint of God. What a blessed woman. Sister Presley. Is that right? Sister Presley. Ah, you see, we are here, but we're going to soon be there. Are you living ready to go there? Are you so tied up with this world that you'd have to pull loose from things to get out of here? How many of you would need to go home and make some texts before you went up in the rapture? How many of you got some bills you'd have to go pay? How many got somebody you'd have to go ask them to forgive you for some ugly or a nasty thing you thought or said? How many? Are we ready? Are we really ready to go? Well, he's got our body ready, already got everything all put together. Hallelujah. Now, I want to move a little further. You got to understand something. There's a number one heaven, which is the atmosphere above us. There's a second heaven, which is between the earthly heaven and the heavenly heaven where God is. So the second heaven is right now ruled over by the Antichrist. And by the devil. He's the prince of the power of the air. Did you know that before the rapture, or at the time of the rapture, he's got to be removed so we can move in and take over the second heavens? How many of you knew that? Get your Bible. We're going to go to Revelation chapter 12. Now, I'm going to Revelation 12 first, and then I'll come back to Revelation 4. Revelation 12 and Revelation 4 are simultaneous. They will occur at the same time, or equal to, or approximate. They're part of the same event. Revelation 4 and Revelation 12 is both about the rapture. The whole central event of both of those chapters is the rapture. But there's other events in there that are very important, that are breathtakingly important. So let's go to Revelation 12 for a moment. Hold your Bible. Don't be in a hurry. Let's take a moment and learn something. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now you can study that in any way you want to study it. And the final results will have to be, that's the church. That's the church. 2,000 years, the church when it was great and the church when it was backslid. But in her great hour, she was really powerful. The church is still powerful. What would this world be without the church of Jesus Christ? You think it's bad now. You wait till we're gone. You wait till that rapture occurs. You wait till the last Bible-believing church closes its doors, which will happen when we leave in the rapture. I want to tell you something, friend. When we're out of here, hell will be worse than hell's ever been on the face of this earth. And this is the picture. This is the picture. This 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pained to be delivered. What is that? A woman pregnant with a child in her womb, and she's in labor. She's screaming with pain. Her body's trying to deliver, but she hadn't been able to deliver yet. Well, it don't stop there. The Bible says, and there appeared another woman in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. great red dragon having seven horns, seven heads and ten horns, and seven crowns upon his head, and he, or in his tail, drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, to devour her child as soon as she was born. Now you look at this picture. I know this is the picture that all the great prophecy writers have agreed to. I can name so many of them who say the same thing. You may disagree with it, and that will be no problem to me, nor to your salvation. But I believe this is the interpretation. That woman is the church. The church universal. The church in most places, a backslid entity. But still within her, is a true group of saintly people. I'm part of the Pentecostal world. And I don't like much that I see in the Pentecostal world, but I'm still part of that world. And I would be identified as part of that world. But I'm like part of an entity that's in the womb of this great church, ready to be delivered. I'm looking for my flight. I'm looking for my birth. I'm looking to get out of here. I'm looking to leave that old sun-clothed woman and take my trip to the sky. And that's exactly the picture you've got in this very chapter. You got a sun-clothed woman, backslid, without much of anything decent, but within her bosom is a few people all over the world, in Africa, in India, in South America, in Canada, a few in America, and different places. And it's a child about to be born. It's a saintly group about to be raptured. We're about to leave here. And the devil realizes that we're about to leave here. And so he comes in all his fury and he sets up a storm over this woman. He even reaches up and gets all the stars of heaven, and he brings the devil and every demon he's got into the fight. And that's exactly where we are. The rapture is about ready to go, and the devil is trying to stop it. But we're going to be delivered, and it's shortly at hand. Oh, great day. Do you understand what your pastor's preaching? Oh, church, hear me. Hear me, church. The devil has never been so afraid of nothing as he is you and I escaping his grasp. He'd like to make mincemeat out of you. He'd like to make mincemeat out of you, Charles. He'd like to make mincemeat out of you, Yvette, Brother Dylan, Brother Joe. Oh, would he like to? Oh, he's doing everything he can to stop you, Sister Norma, Brother Carlos. He wants to keep you from being ready for that rapture. He's fighting against this rapture. Anybody that's going to a church and believe in the rapture, he's trying to keep you out of church. He's trying to get you worldly. He's trying to make you hungry for a bigger job, for more money, anything he can to change the direction of your life. That devil has got every demon in the realm above us doing everything he can to stop this church. He doesn't know that him calling for all these stars, his stars, demons, out of the heavens, help him fight on the earth, is just getting him ready for something he didn't. Maybe he knew, but he wasn't thinking about it, at least. Suddenly, that second heavens has got to be cleaned out, because we're fixing to take over. Do you hear what I'm saying? The second heavens, where Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Right now, the devil rules in the second heavens. He's got those demons organized. He's got all of his wicked spirits organized. If you think you're going to be free of their effort to destroy you, you watch out. Tomorrow, he may come like a storm to get a hold of you and to destroy you. But God is fixing to do something for us. He's fixing to clean him out. And so let's go to the verse where God cast those demons out of heaven. Hallelujah. See if I can find my place here. She brought forth a man. Now listen, you know this is the church. She brought forth a man, verse 5, who was to rule the nations with a rod of iron. You study your Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and the bride of Christ is going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. That's exactly what we're going to do for a 1,000-year reign, a millennial reign. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, it's going to happen, a 1,000-year reign, and the nations are going to be ruled by this son. This child born from this sun-clothed womb has to be us. It can't be nothing but the bride of Christ. It can't be nothing but the saints of God. It's a beautiful picture. And the woman fled into the wilderness. Let's go to verse 3:7. And there was war in the heavens. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. Can you read that verse out loud? And neither was the demon's place, the devil and all his crowd, neither was their place found any more in heaven. You hear that? You know what's going to happen? That whole second heaven's full of demons. It's going to be cleared out, cleaned out. There won't be one left. You know why God's cleaning that crowd out? Because you and I are fixing to go through that same place on our way in the rapture. I know this is, it's kind of over my head, but I know it's right. I've studied it for years, and I have no question. I have no doubt. Let's go now. We don't have time for all of this, and my time is probably already up almost. Oh, I got more time. Go to the fourth chapter of Revelation. The fourth chapter of Revelation. Let's make sure we get this picture. See, these two chapters are synonymous. They run together. The fourth chapter. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. A door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. Now keep your place. Go back with me, chapter 12. He cleans out that second heavens. He cast the devil, and I didn't read all the verses, but you can read it when you get home. He cast the devil, and he cast them down to the earth, and they can never leave the earth again. And while he's casting them to the earth, that other chapter shows us being caught up to heaven. And what do we see when we get caught up to heaven? We see a throne set in the heavens. Now, you can read that and find out that's not the place the throne has been previously. The throne previously has been in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. But now, He's getting ready for the transactions of the end. He's getting ready for the final moment. He's getting ready for the fulfillment of the book of Revelation. He's getting ready to rule, to redeem this earth, to redeem every part of this earth, to redeem all of the heavens, and to bring into being the new heaven and the new earth. And so, we are caught up to heaven, and God sets His throne, moves it from where it is, and sets it in that second heaven in the sky. Because the world is going to see it during the 7-year tribulation period. Go to Revelation 6, and you see the wicked looking up, and they see God on His throne. And they see Jesus, and they weep, and they say, hide us, let the mountains fall on us, let anything happen that can happen. Hallelujah, because God is cleaning that place out. And you say, has this started? I don't think so, but it's about to start. You wait till that trumpet sounds. You wait till Jesus gets ready to rapture His bride up into the heavens. And you read on in that chapter 4, and you'll find there is a sea of glass. Watch for that. You know what that sea of glass is identified as? A huge expanse where all the bride of Christ can gather before the throne of God. A huge expanse. Now you think about this. Everybody that has died in God since the time of Adam and Eve, You think about every saint of God in the New Testament church when they almost took over at least half of the world for Jesus and the gospel. You think of the great Methodist revival. You think of the Dwight L. Moody revival. You think of every revival that's ever occurred. And then you think about the tribulation saints moving in there with us in the middle of the tribulation period. Then you go to chapter 14 of Revelation and 144,000 Jews move in with us. And then you go to chapter 15, and there's a remnant of Jews that move in with us. And then you go to chapter 19, there's the last remnant of the earth that resists the Antichrist that move in there with us. And you talk about a multitude of millions times millions times millions, and the sea of glass will be our location. And there will be the throne of God, and the devil will be on the earth doing his last ugly thing. But we'll be up there having the marriage supper of the Lamb. Heaven is getting ready for us, church. Heaven is getting ready for us. And I sure am ready to go. Great day. I've never been so ready to go in all my life. Hallelujah. And if you're not ready, he'll get you ready. He may have to come along and take something that you thought you had. And all of a sudden, all I want to do anymore is go to heaven. Heaven is getting ready for the saints. Are y'all hearing, Brother Chambers? Please don't think me odd. I'm not trying to be odd. I'm trying to tell you something. Listen, try to imagine looking at this great expanse up there in the second heavens. It's been completely wiped clean of Satan. Every demon has been removed. There's nothing there but purity. Every angel that's left was his angel. All the other angels are now demons, and they're on the earth doing their last dark thing. And we're up there. And he spreads a table across that great expanse, and you can't see the end of it. And it's not just one table, it's a multiplicity of tables. And the angels come and prepare the most gourmet meal you've ever looked upon in all your life. You think your wife's chicken dumplings are good and Juanita's were the best there ever was. I'm here to tell you. But Teresa's got a chick already cooked, and she's going to try her best at making chicken and dumplings like Mama. I think she'll succeed. But I want to tell you something. That table spread for the saints of God with angels serving us. I mean multiplicity of people over. Hey, that's St. Peter sitting over there. Look, that's St. Peter. Oh, there he is. Look, that's Apostle Paul. Look at him. Hey, there comes David, the great psalmist David. He's got his harp, and he's going to play some music for a while, and it begins to strum on that old harp, and the Holy Ghost touches every string, and the Holy Ghost touches his fingers, and he makes music, and wake up now, he makes music that will plain overwhelm you. He makes music, hallelujah, and there'll come a choir of holiness folks. Woo! There'll come a choir of holiness folks. Not a lady among them is dressed like a Jezebel. Not a lady among them looks like anything less than a saint. And they got music over there playing, and Sister Angel has been put at the piano temporarily. I mean, maybe full time. I don't know. And all of these kind of things are fixing to happen. Friend, you just don't know. Heaven's getting ready for us. Heaven's getting ready for us. Heaven's getting ready for us. And I'm here to tell you, I'm ready for heaven. Somebody raise a hand and just worship God. I'm into a choir. Oh, Sister Phoebe, that's going to be some kind of day. Hallelujah. Oh, that's going to be some kind of day. Heaven's getting ready for us. New body, no more pain, no more tears. I've cried two barrels full. But oh, hallelujah. My tear crying will be over. There she'll be, and I'm going to stroll all over heaven with her. Oh, don't tell me I'm not. Don't tell me I'm not. I know I am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to me, church. It's just down the road. It ain't far, and it ain't long. How many want to go? Are you ready to live utterly and totally for him? Now, I got to read one more verse. Go with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 51 and verse 11. the book of Isaiah, chapter 51 and verse 11. Oh, I can't wait. Oh, I can't wait. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. Come with singing. You say, Brother Chambers, I can't sing. When you get your new body, you can. Hallelujah. Come with singing unto Zion. And an everlasting joy shall be upon thee, upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. How many of you can remember the toughest struggle you've had to endure in your lifetime? Will you raise your hand? The toughest struggle. Come on. How many remember the darkest night? The darkest moment? The worst? Have you never had battles? How many of you have never had a battle? Let me see your hand. But if you've had battles, let me see your hand. How many know that all of that is shortly to be gone? You won't even remember the pain you felt. You'll have a brand new body, pure, glorified, everlasting. Shall we stand? Church, I want to tell you this morning, we are in the prophetic hour of the last days. I'm telling you this by the Holy Ghost. When He moved on me yesterday and gave me this message, I knew it was from the Holy Ghost, Brother Marlon. I knew God was trying to tell me to tell His church that heaven is getting ready for us. Heaven is getting everything. I don't know, but those tables may already be set. The chinaware will be so beautiful. My kids are fussing over mama's chinaware. Well, they're not fussing because she's already wrote names on stuff, who she wants to get it. But I want to tell you, the chinaware up there will be priceless. Everything will be majestic. And we're going to have the greatest life. It's worth everything you got. If you have to give up everything you've ever had your hands on to go there, do it. Nothing is worth missing heaven. Nothing is worth missing heaven. Are you listening to me? Nothing. I don't care what it is. It ain't worth missing heaven. What a day. Would you just open your heart a moment? Holy Ghost, will you help us? Your servant has done his best, and I'm limited, Father, when I preach a sermon like this. I've done my best. Father, get us ready to be utterly abandoned to our King so that there will be nothing between us and Him when that trumpet sounds. Nothing. Ready to go. Abandoned. Totally surrendered. Totally sold out. Are you totally sold out this morning? I want to see the hands of everybody in this building that's totally sold out. Now be careful. Don't you raise that hand if you don't mean it. I'm talking about sold out. I ain't talking about playing no games. We got a church world full of people up and down, in and out. They go to church when they get ready. You can't depend on them Sunday by Sunday, service by service. They don't come if they want to. If they sneeze, they think it's an excuse to stay home. I don't believe in that mess. The church is the best place in the world to get healed. Did you hear that? Everybody say that with me. The church is the best place in the world to get healed. I want you to raise your hand, and I want you to give yourself afresh to Him. Father, I give you Joe Chambers. Father, I abhor myself. I abhor me. I abhor every good thing I've been able to produce because it don't even come up close to the measurement of Christ. I want you, Jesus. I want your nature. I want your nature. I want your sweet, tender, genuine, gentle, holiness nature to fill Joe Chambers until I can scream out, I am crucified with Christ. I long for that, Father. I want to say I am crucified with Christ. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. If you're not saved and you're in this building, you ought to get out of your seat and run to this altar. You say, I think I've got more time. I don't know whether you have or not, but you are one more unwise person if you don't take advantage of the moment. I've got to be ready to go.
Been sorely tried. Just lift up your eyes, for here comes your help. It is Jesus, and for you he has died. So rise and be just let faith arise in your soul. Rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. He will cleanse you and make you whole. By faith
to be on the altar. Now, I'm going to give an invitation to start with sinner. Is there a sinner in this building that wants to come to Christ?
Jesus,
is there one?
Your every plea, and that he will respond to that cry that's deep in your heart. He will cleanse you. He will make you whole. So rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. Just let faith arise in your soul. Rise.